to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. The number to call us, 855-454-5905. And I'm here with my co-host for the day, Samuel Dowling.
Good morning.
And we're having some great conversation. Good morning, Sam. And we've had some great calls. We've talked about online dating. And now, if you're just tuning in, right before the break, we were speaking with Tracy, who actually had a question about divorce and remarriage. Are you still there, Tracy?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much. So if you're just tuning in, Tracy's question was, you know, if a man divorces his wife and he remarries and he commits adultery, but what about the woman? And so all I can tell you, Tracy, is that there are some specific scriptures that I want to just refer to really quickly. One of them is Matthew 5:32. The other is Matthew 15:19. And then finally, Matthew 19:9. So Matthew 5:32, it says, "But I tell you that anyone who divorces a wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." And then 15:19 says, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." So these two scriptures, connecting them, really talk about what I believe is the real issue with divorce and remarriage. And Jesus says that it's because of the hardness of your heart, that it's a sin issue. Like, two people who love God should be able to work it out. So whenever there's divorce, there's sin. Now, if there's adultery and you're not the one that committed that act and it was your spouse and you divorce, from where I see it, and again, this is more of an opinion, you got to have this own conviction for yourself. But the way I see it, if your spouse was unfaithful based on the scripture, then you're free. But if you divorce them for another reason, then the Bible makes it very clear you're not free to get married. So if the other person marries someone that's technically not free to be married, I definitely believe it would be committing adultery.
Both parties.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, it really goes back to the heart of it. And that's where Matthew 15:19 comes, because, you know, if your heart is, and this is where I think it gets tricky, Tracy, when someone, And I was a little concerned about my previous conversation with the caller that wants to get divorced. I said, you can't treat marriage as like, oh, well, this didn't work out.
Right.
I'm going to take it back. Like, hey, I didn't like this purchase. Can I take it back to the store? You know, what's my refund policy? It's like, no, you've committed to this for the rest of your life. You got to make it work. There are very few exceptions, but sometimes the heart behind it, even in adultery, should be, let's work this out. Can this still be salvaged? And so I think the heart really has a lot to play there. But Tracy, great question. We really do appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
Okay, and thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely, Tracy. You have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
All right, great. Excellent. Let's continue on here. We have Tian calling from New Jersey on line 4. Good morning, Tian. You're live on the air with Praise.
How you doing? I'm stuck in a hard place and a rock.
Okay, between a rock and a hard place. All right, what's going on?
Me and my wife, we've been together for like 12 years. We've been married for 9.
Okay.
And we're just two opposite. We just opposite, two opposite people. You know, like, I know you was talking to the two callers, a caller before, and you were telling them that, you know, if it ain't sexual, that you can't divorce.
If it's
your
not
wife.
Sexual morality, right? If your spouse didn't commit adultery.
And, but then when you were talking to Tracy, you also mentioned that, you know, you guys have to be evenly yoked.
Yes.
But see, that kind of twists me up. So what if there is no, what if you're not evenly yoked and there is no sexual morality?
Okay, well, that's actually a good question. 1 Corinthians 7 actually addresses that. If you're not equally yoked, but you're already married, then it's your responsibility to win over your spouse. And so that means that you got to be the best Christian, the best husband, as to help her. And that's what it says. And I'll read a little bit of here in 1 Corinthians 7. It says, "To the rest, I say, I, not the Lord, if a brother has a wife who's not a believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, the children will be unclean, and that is unholy. And then so it goes on. And then it says this: but if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? So in this case, Tian, if there's not infidelity, if your wife has been faithful, but you feel like you're unevenly yoked, then it's your responsibility to be the best example if she's willing to live with you. Now, if she's trying to leave you and she's not a believer, then the Bible says let her leave. But if not, so, if she wants to be with you.
So therefore, that there's more than one case where you can divorce your wife then.
But you're not divorcing her. She will be divorcing you. There's a difference.
And see, my thing is, like, I was 20 years old when we got married.
Okay.
We was young, you know
sure.
what I mean? And I'm at this point where, you know, I'm not sure that the decision I made when I was young, that's what God wanted me to do, you know? Because it's like, she is, like, so negative and...
All right, are you a Christian, Tian?
Yes.
Is she a Christian?
No.
Okay. So you're a Christian. She's not a Christian. You're asking if that's what God wanted. Well, you know what's interesting? Whether God wanted it or not, you did it and God allowed it, and he reveres marriage. So marriage is something that, whether you're a Christian or not, you made this vow. So now you're a married man who made a vow. And your wife is not a Christian. How do you know that God's purpose is not for you to love her and be an example so that she will become a Christian? And she hasn't been unfaithful to you as far as you know?
It was a situation the other, like a few months ago where, you know, that I'm leaning on like 90% sure that something happened, but I'm not 100% sure.
Well, 90 is a pretty strong number, though. Like,
I know.
What makes you think that much, 90%, that you think that
it's like, you know, she had some text message in her phone.
Inappropriate?
And it was real inappropriate, and it was talking about stuff, but I love you and you know, miss you and all this, you know, like stuff that, you know, you don't talk to people.
Well, let me ask you this, Tian. What will it take for you to be
deeper than that?
All right. Well, what would it take for you to be 100% sure she was unfaithful?
What would it take for me to be 100%?
Yeah, you're 90% sure. What's missing? What makes you unsure?
One, she didn't admit.
Okay.
Two, the dude didn't admit, and three, I mean, the text didn't actually say that, you know, they did something, but, you know, it's clear that something went down. But even after that, you know, I still went to her and I told her, like, listen, you know, we got two kids together, 11-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I told her, like, yo, you know, nobody's perfect, and I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm willing to forgive you because that's just the person I am.
Okay. So then forgive her.
At this point, like, she still don't even want to talk about it. She don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
All right. But listen,
like, she don't want to, like, give me the feeling like she don't even want to be in a relationship.
I hear you. But you're the Christian. She's not. So if she's willing to stay with you and you want to forgive her, let's say she did commit adultery and you still want to forgive her, then you need to forgive her. You need to love her and be the best husband you can be. The part that you said, no one's perfect, she's not perfect, you're not perfect, that's true. But a lot of times when people say that, it's usually an excuse to fall short. And that's not what God is calling you to. Tian, God is saying, listen, be the best husband, the best father, the best disciple you can be, and hopefully you're able to win her over. Now, if she on her own decides, you know, I don't want this, then there's nothing you can do. She let her go. What do you do? But if she's saying, hey, I want to be with you, I wasn't with anyone else, I want you, then it's your responsibility.
She's not saying that she want to be in a even though she messed up, she's giving me, like, I'm chasing her, like,
okay.
I messed up. You know what I'm saying? I'm still chasing her, like, yo, let's talk about
so
it.
So does
let's
she want the marriage or not want the marriage?
She, like, I don't want to talk about it. This all we talk about every day.
All right, Tian, I have a question for you. Is she willing to get counseling?
I even told her, let's go to the pastor and let's talk to our pastor. She said, yo, your pastor just want to be nosy.
Okay, so, like, what about someone else, not your pastor?
I said, let's go to somebody that's mutual, that doesn't know me, doesn't know you. Let's go talk to somebody.
That's what she said.
You know what I mean? Because, obviously, we can't talk to each other.
So what was her answer?
She said she don't need nobody to tell her what to do.
Okay. Okay, so what do you want to do?
That's what I'm saying. I'm confused because it's like I'm trying to make this work. I'm trying to, but it's like I feel like I'm not.
I hear that.
If this the opportunity God given me to say, listen, the choices you made back in the days wasn't the right choice. Here go opportunity to go.
I don't think you're at that place. Just so you know, Tian, my personal opinion, I don't think you're there yet. And I don't think you've done everything. You've tried, and I hear you, and you have two children together. My biggest question for you is, what do you want? Because if you want to fight for this marriage, then you need to fight for it.
Be honest with you. Like, I love her, you know, and we've been together for 12 years, as I said, but I don't think that being together is what's best. I would love for it to work. I would love for every, you know what I mean? I would love,
all
I
right,
don't wanna,
Tia,
I don't
Tia,
want,
let me just say this. I hear you. You
know
sound
I mean?
Confused. Let's do this, Tian. Unfortunately, I got to take a brief break.
Yep.
I want to come back, and I want to show you something that I believe is going to help you to make a decision, because you got to make a decision, okay? So hold on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Everyone else, we do invite you to give us a call, 855-454-5905. We're going to take a brief break, but we will be right back.
The vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is the last segment of today's program here, Marriage Beyond the Vows, here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado, and with me this morning as a co-host is Samuel Dowling.
Hello, hello.
All right, let's continue on here. Right before the break, we were speaking with Tian. And Tian had a question about whether or not he should fight for his marriage or he should divorce his wife. Tian, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, Tian. So I want to take you to a scripture really quickly here. I wish we had more time to talk, but I do want to give you some biblical direction. And it's from the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to share this part with you here. In verse 25, it says, "Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And so it goes on and it shares, like, what, how do you love your wife? But it says, as Christ loves the church. You know, the question that I have for you, Tian, is, as painful as it is, are you willing to love your wife the way God calls you to, which is the way Christ loves the church? And think about that for a minute. The church is not perfect. The church messes up. And at times people even in the church walk away from God. And there is the scripture of the prodigal son, and, you know, God would never force you to love him, but he'll go the extra mile and do whatever it takes to keep you faithful. The Bible says that if there are 100 sheep, one goes astray, he leaves the 99 to go after that one. So in this case, you got to make sure you're pursuing your wife and loving her the way Christ loves the church. And the, the conflict I'm hearing, Tien, is you're tired of the hurt. You just want your wife to make a decision, but she's not willing to do it. And so my question for you is, are you willing to fight for your marriage and love your wife the ways Christ loves the church?
I am willing to fight for it.
Yeah. And I think that you called because you want help. And I really believe you love your wife. If you were done, if you didn't care about her, you wouldn't even have picked up the phone. So I want to commend you, Tien. And I think what you need is you need some support, some encouragement to be able to say, listen, I need some help. I mean, this is hard. And it sounds like, you know, your wife, you said you're 90% sure. It sounds like even if she didn't have the affair, she's definitely, you know, venturing in some very, very dangerous waters. And she's not even willing to be humble and talk about it, although you've told her you would forgive her. So, Tien, what I would like to do, if you don't mind, is I would love to have some more conversation with you off the air. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time. We can talk on the air, but I would love to connect with you some more. So if you are okay with that, if you can hold on and our producer, Larry, will get some information and also give you some information on how we can talk a little more. Okay?
That's perfect.
Well, Tien, thank you so much, my brother. Keep your head
all
up.
Right.
God bless. I mean, Sam, I know we were having this conversation off the air. What do you think here before we continue on with our next callers?
Well, I was going to tell Tien to put the boxing gloves on and go for it. The other thing was that...
To hit his wife?
What? that's a different topic for next week. No, I was basically saying, Tien, in a situation like that is you have to love your wife as a Christian. If you're saying you're a Christian, you're a believer, that you must love your wife even when she's unlovable and keep going for it. And until it is definite and is sure that it's over and there's adultery, then you can walk. But fight. If you really want to fight, then do not do anything less than that and go all out. Go all out in training. Like in our training, we learn how to fight for 3 to 5 minutes and see how much you have giving it all out. Don't hold anything back.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that analogy. Thank you, Sam, because it's like sometimes you're in that ring and you're getting beat up. But it's like, don't give up. Don't give up, you know, and hopefully that bell rings and you get to kind of regroup. And it sounds like he's calling for that bell. Like, hey, I'm fighting for this. I'm just really weary. Can someone help me? Because it sounds like he's really trying to fight and hold on. So let's continue on here. I believe Diane actually wants to continue a conversation. She has a comment for Tien. Good morning, Diane. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning, Marcos. We love your show. Me and my husband are from New York. We are here in Philadelphia now. And we absolutely love your show. We actually did marriage ministry in New York for 15 years.
Excellent.
I just wanted to encourage him that he really should listen to what God is telling him, because it really sounds like, because he loves her so much and he's forgiven her, mm-hmm. It really sounds like God is encouraging him to stay there and work it out. And he could be an example for so many other marriages to encourage them that God is yet a healer in our marriage. And there's a lot of marriages who just need somebody to come alongside to encourage them to fight through the problems.
Yeah.
There are so many marriages that are going through infidelity and all kinds of financial problems, but if they have somebody to come alongside, they can make it. We've seen God do some awesome things in New York. He has actually brought divorced couples back together.
Absolutely.
He's remarried. And so we're encouraging him to just stick in there, fight it out, and certainly me and my husband would be willing to be a couple that would come alongside if he'd be interested in having us to sit with him and his wife. Anytime.
Sure. And you know what I would say, Dan, and, you know, please contact me. I would love to hear more about what you're doing and have you as a great resource. You're in the Philadelphia area now?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been here for about 4 years. We go to Mount Airy, and we absolutely love Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love.
The city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. I love that.
Amen. But Marcos, we're encouraging you also. You're doing a wonderful work. We love your show, and we're encouraged. We love to listen, and we're praying for you and the ministry God has given you. And all those couples out there, just keep fighting. It's a blessing to be able to be one of those that God can use as a tool to help encourage other marriages. As you go through your fight, God will use that experience to help somebody else through their situation. And that's how he did it for us, and he's more than willing to do it for somebody else.
Absolutely. Excellent. And, you know, I do want to invite you, and if you could stay on the line, we'll try to get your information as well. But I do invite you and everyone else to contact me. You could always do that through Facebook, facebook.com/beyondthevows, or go to praisephilly.com. Look for me, Marcos Mercado, and send me a message. I'll get the email directly. But I would love to have more conversation with you. So thank you for your call today.
You're welcome. God bless you. Take care.
Thank you. Stay on the line for a second, okay? Or I'm going to have my producer speak with you. Thank you. God bless. All right, let's continue here with line one with Reverend Mack. Our brother, Reverend Mack, how you doing, my brother?
Hello.
Hey, Reverend Mack.
Yeah, I'm still here.
You're there. Thank you for your patience. So you also had a comment for our young brother, Tien. What do you think, as a mature married man, what advice and comment you had for our brother, Tien?
I would tell my brother Kim to fight for that marriage and show his wife love and patience and hang in there with her and encourage her, be there for her, you know, because this is a time that real love stands out, that real agape love, that Christian love that lasts forever. That kind of love lasts, man. It don't die.
Agape love, I love that.
Agape love.
And you know what it is too.
That enduring love, it don't never run out. You know what I'm saying? A lot of time we go through different things, but it's the way you handle the situation, you know.
Well, real love loves when it's hard, right? Not just when they're lovable. The Bible says even pagans can love, you know, those who love them back. But, like, as Christians, the standard, the authority that Jesus has set forth for us, the example was he loved us when we were unlovable. And sometimes we're still unlovable.
Right. You got to come in still. A lot of time we don't want to hang in there. We're ready to throw in the towel. But, you know, it's for better or worse, Marcus. You know that. I mean, things might come up that beyond our control, but with God's help, we can make it.
Absolutely. And by the way, Reverend Mack, I want to apologize. I did get your invitation. I wasn't able to make it. I think you and your wife renewed your vows recently.
Man, Marcus, it was awesome, man. We had over 800 people showed up at the ceremony.
Come on, man.
800 people.
Did you feed all those people?
And 350 was at the reception.
How many did you feed? 350?
We fed 350 people. It was catered, man. Everything was catered.
You're the man.
First class at the Liberty Evangelistic Church, and people came from every direction.
You know what? When I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Keep growing up.
I got a lot of growing up to do. Thank you, brother.
Reverend Mack sound like Mickey from Rocky. He's going to be Tien's cut man.
Yeah, his cut
so
man.
So everybody's right, you know, root for you, Tien.
Rocky.
Put the boxer on. Put the gloves on, Tien.
Thank you so much. Well, Brother Mack, we appreciate it. You have a
blessed day. All right, we love you guys, and be encouraging. Continue to do what you're doing because you're doing a fine job, Marcus.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Keep us in prayer. God bless. All right, well, let's continue on here. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Give us a call at 855-454-5905, and you can talk about anything you want, any question, any comment. We still have a few minutes left here on the program. We're going to continue with our phone calls. We're going to line three where Tanya is calling from the Pennsylvania area. Good morning, Tanya. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I was calling because I am married, and I married my husband. And he's not from this country. And we are so miserable in our relationship.
Okay.
And
how long have you been married?
It's been 3 years now. And I feel like I can't go on with my spiritual growth and getting closer to God because of the bondage that I'm in. It's like... I don't know. It's like I got baggage, and it's just too much. And I don't think that God wants us to be miserable in our relationship, but we are, and we both are saved. We've even taken classes together at the church, and it's like things just don't go right at all. We don't have any kids.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
What's causing you?
Like, what would have to change for you to be happy again? Like, what's causing your misery? Like, what if you had a your way and you could say, God, take this away, and if you change that, and please, I'm not saying your whole marriage or your husband, but if there was something specific, what is it that's causing you the greatest amount of grief and harm?
For one, I would say our big thing is our foundation's not there. We used to be friends, and... Okay. That's what made me want to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
And we aren't even like that anymore. We can't even have a conversation. And there is a big culture difference because he's not from America. He's from Africa.
Okay.
And it's you know, we just don't get along anymore.
Okay, but it's been three years.
I'm
now,
3 years.
Why, But at some point, you were in love, and you felt like you can spend the rest of your life together. It is a cultural difference, and let me tell you, it's not just someone from Africa, but, you know, the further you get culturally to someone, the harder it is. But that doesn't mean it can't work. Someone earlier said, hey, we're quite opposites. Like, sometimes opposites actually can help each other. So you wouldn't be the first or last person to marry someone from Africa and, you know, have a challenge or be able to make it work. So my question for you, Tanya, and the same question that I've asked before when someone is thinking about getting divorced, is do you think God is okay with that for this reason, because you just don't see eye to eye, things are difficult, that it's okay to get divorced?
And no, that's the thing. We're both on the same page that we don't, that's like, once you marry, you're supposed to work things out. Like, God put this unit together, and I thought because he was saved and because I'm saved, you know, we had something on common ground. We did have a spiritual, evenly yoke, and it's like, it's not there anymore.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's, you know, he says, I changed. I say, he changed, you know, so we both point fingers, and what we both pray, you know, but it's to the point, like, we're in the house, and it's, why is he here, and why is she here?
I got you.
You know, we can't communicate anymore.
All right. Let me just take a few moments to share a few things with you that I think might help you, okay? And the first one is, and I think it's always good to know you have options. I think sometimes we feel trapped as Christians. We feel like, all right, well, divorce is not an option, so I guess I have to live in misery. That's right. Not God's will, right? He doesn't want us to live in misery. He loves us. Happiness is not something necessarily promises us, but it really is a matter of perspective, right? You know, mm-hmm. you could wake up tomorrow and be a decision to be happy, and you could be happy. So it right. really starts with you. At the same time, you know, God doesn't want you to be in misery forever and trapped because you made this vow. So I think the first part, knowing that you have an option, is 1 Corinthians 7 does talk about if you decide to leave, you can. However, you can't remarry. So at that point, you got to ask yourself, am I so miserable that I'd rather be alone for the rest of my life or reconcile with my husband? So just so you know, God knows this and gives you a choice. And I believe that in God's infinite wisdom, he says, listen, there might be some cases where people might feel like, hey, I'd rather be alone, or they're being abused and it's so bad, there's no infidelity, but they feel like I'm better off by myself. But that doesn't mean that God is giving you, although he's saying it's okay to you for you to be alone, he's not saying it's okay for you to go and find someone else. So here's your option. You leave and spend the rest of your life alone, or you reconcile with your husband. I don't need you to answer me now, but just so you know, those are your choices if you're going to do this God's way. Spend the rest of your life by yourself or reconcile. Now, let's just say for the moment that you don't want to spend the rest of your life alone, but you don't see and you don't feel hopeful that you can reconcile and that you can actually make it work. Well, number one, it's only been 3 years that you have the whole, you know, your whole life, however many years God gives you ahead of you. And then the second thing is, you know, I don't know how much you've done together in terms of counseling or, you know, getting some kind of, you know, enrichment course or something. But I know there are many resources out there, and I would recommend something to you that you really can learn and grow closer together and have a better relationship than you ever dreamed or imagined. And it's very doable. And so I think that if you're able to see, wait a minute, there's hope. If you both love Jesus, even if you don't feel like you love one another, you can make it work. In the Bible, I mean, like I said before, in the biblical times, some people even had arranged marriages. So imagine you chose your husband. He chose you. Imagine you were forced to marry this man. Now you got to work it out. But it's still doable. And I think that it goes back to what the Bible says. Love never fails. Mm-hmm. So how do you love your spouse? And I think that I wish I had a quick answer for you, but I do know that I've seen that. I've seen people who absolutely can't even stand each other work it out and be madly in love.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
So what I want to invite you to do, Tanya, something I've done with a few people, is, you know, to contact me outside of you know, right now of the show. Let's have a little bit more conversation. Please go to the website. Go to praisephilly.com. Look for me, Marcos Mercado. You could also email us at beyondvows@gmail.com. Beyondvows. And I just would love to talk a little bit more. I mean, if you're husband is willing, if you're willing to work at this, I mean, as miserable as it may seem, there's hope.
Thank you. I really appreciate the advice that you gave.
No, thank you. And thank you for listening and for picking up the phone and calling.
Thank you. And I will reach out to you.
Thank you, Tanya. You have a blessed day.
Me too. Thank you.
That's interesting.
What were you thinking, Sam?
No, I was thinking that may not apply, but if you're having, for example, your child, after 3 years, things aren't working out, you're not going to say to your child, well, it's not working out. You got to go. Pack your bags and go. I know it's totally different.
You had a newborn 3 years later. You're going through those terrible twos. Now you're three. I don't think I can handle this.
And I say, treat it like a marriage. Your marriage is that way. Once you made that vow, that covenant with God, that no matter what, it's 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, we got to work it out. Yes, there are some situations, and I think we've talked about this in the past. Yeah, if you're being abused physically, I mean, yeah, you need to work, get out of there. But if it's just simply, the finances, they're not good with finances, or they keep leaving that toilet seat up, or the dishes, or two ships in the night, all these things could be worked out. So treat that and keep fighting. Like, Tien, we're in your corner, Tien. We're all getting your team together, your cut man, your trainer, the whole bit, Reverend Mac, the whole thing. So we're working on that. I say in your marriages, do the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's continue on here. We're going to actually go to Miriam, who's calling in from Philly. And she says she caught her husband in a very unchristian act. Miriam, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. So what's going on? What happened here? What happened with
your husband? First, I want to tell you I love you, and I love Yolanda.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So, Miriam, let's get right to that. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for supporting us, for listening, and, please keep us in prayer. But now you had a situation here in your relationship, your husband, you caught him. What is the unchristian act you caught him with?
Pornography.
All right, so you found pornography on his computer. Did you actually catch him watching it? What happened?
I caught him in the act on his phone.
So he was watching pornography on his phone?
And masturbating.
Okay, so he was watching porn, masturbating, and what was his response when you caught him?
That I was crazy, that I didn't see nothing.
What?
That it was all in my imagination.
All right, so let's backtrack a little bit. So where was he when you saw him? Did you go into the bedroom and, just went into the room and you caught
him? Well, I was going down the steps to go to work.
Okay.
And I'm a very observant person. I love my family enough to study them, to know when something is wrong and when something is not.
Okay.
But there was something in my gut. I mean, we had this problem years ago, Marco, and we're both Christians. We both go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the Lord had delivered him from this situation.
Okay.
Obviously, I was wrong. He sees nothing with it. The thing that he said to me was, why are you mad? Every man does it.
So, but which one was it? He said you didn't do it, or why are you mad? Every man does it. Which one is it?
Say that again?
Because you had said a moment ago, you said that he denied it, that you're crazy, you didn't see what you thought you said.
Yeah,
but then just
exactly.
Now you said, wait a minute, I did, and everyone else does it. What's the big deal? Which
exactly.
One?
No, and that was both the things that he said to me.
Okay. I'm sorry, Sam.
No, I thought she was saying basically that, Miriam, that at one time it was a problem in your marriage. And
it was. It was the same situation.
And he said that everyone does it. What's the problem? But can I ask you one question, though? Before you were a Christian, did you used to watch porn with your husband?
No.
Okay.
I'm not into pornography.
Right.
I never was into pornography.
Okay. So did you realize that in some point in your marriage, how long have you been married, mind me asking?
23 years.
23 years. When was the first time that porn came into, or you realized that he had porn in the marriage? How long
Maybe
ago was that?
Maybe about 15 years ago.
15 years ago. And how was that dealt with 15 years ago?
We didn't. Mm. We didn't deal with it. I ignored it. I looked away. I prayed on it, saying, God, maybe I'm the one doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I've tried to be the better wife. I've tried to love him more. I've tried, but, we have no conversations anymore. We can't speak anymore. I remember a time we used to finish each other's sentences.
Yeah.
Now, he don't have time to talk. His job takes too much of his time, and
You know what it is, Mary.
And I'm ready.
Mary.
Ready to throw it away.
Yeah, you're not, though. You love your husband. You just want him to change. If your husband right now was to denounce this and to say, listen, I'm sorry, I really want help and willing to do whatever, you're not ready to throw in the towel. You wouldn't be calling and you wouldn't be sharing and you wouldn't be so hurt if that were the case. So what I think, Miriam, is number one is you want this for your husband. It doesn't sound like he wants it. because he's not even honest. Like, it starts with someone being honest, right? They say any, and look, I'm not going to get involved or in depth with the difference between the sin and the addiction, but sin is sin and it's sinful, but it also becomes an addiction. And when the addiction is basically is what Romans 7 says, when you can't control it anymore. So like, let's say, even if you wanted to stop, at this case, I don't think he can stop. However, God can absolutely redeem anyone. Amen. But it starts with us being honest and being real. It's like, you know, all those miracles in the Bible that Jesus, we know that Jesus, you know, was able to perform. All the miracles, the people that were blind, that were able to see, that, you know what they all have in common?
Mm-hmm.
Every person that was healed admitted that they had a problem. So can you imagine there's a paralyzed man and Jesus, like, I hear you. He's like, no, why are you going to heal me? I'm fine. Like, no. He's like, please heal me. Like, help me. But in this case, it's like your husband is trying to justify, like,
yeah,
I don't really need healing because this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're crazy. You what are you talking about? I don't need that. And so until he gets honest, he can't get help. And what I do want to encourage you, Miriam, is something you should have done 15 years ago when you first found your husband, you know, watching porn. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's called, out of love, you sound the alarm. It's not okay. You know, it's painful to see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, when we want to not see it because it's too painful, it doesn't just go away. You know what happened through all these years? He just got better at hiding it. But he didn't change. His heart didn't change. Now, are you willing and is he willing to get counseling? Have you ever said, listen, we need to go and sit and talk to somebody about this because this is a real issue?
We've tried. We had a minister.
Okay.
Who was a friend of ours, Marco. And the minute he told my husband that I was right and he was wrong, the session stopped because my husband didn't want to do it anymore.
Sure, of course the session stopped because that's not what he wanted. You know what? I think this one, the Bible says there's some things that only come out by prayer and fasting. I don't know if you've done this yet, but I think you really need to take some time to really pray and fast for your husband because he needs to be delivered.
I keep them in prayer.
Yeah, but what about the fasting part?
That I haven't done, and that I would try.
And this is what I want you specifically to do, Miriam. I want you to pray that your husband will hit bottom. This is scary, though. Because I don't even know what he does for a living, but I've known people that their addiction is so out of control that they've even been exposed at work and even lost their jobs. And it's scary. But are you willing to pray a prayer that God will put him where he needs to be so that he can finally see how out of control this is? Because right now he's justifying it. And he's saying, this is not really harming anyone. But it is. And mm-hmm. I believe if he's able to see it and God will show him, which I believe he will, how devastating this is. You know, Sam, who's here with me, he even worked, he's in law enforcement. And the one time he worked in a special cyber unit where they would deal with sex crimes. And I don't think people realize how bad it is and how porn is really, you know, there's many of these people are victims and they're slaves, sex slaves. And, you know, you think it's like innocently watching porn. No, you're actually contributing to the fact that these people are being, you know, abused and are sex slaves. And because of people's, you know, selfish desires, they think, I mean, Sam, you want to explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, they were doing a documentary one time or a special, and it kind of caught wind that sometimes you don't see the behind the workings of what's actually going on in that picture or that escort service or that massage parlor or anything you go to. That behind the scenes, there are women that are trapped. There are women that are in there. It could be even another country. It could be transporting around. It could be even the young girl that was snatched off the street or befriended in Texas somewhere, and she's been traveling around with this group of men or organization and, you know, soliciting, prostituting these people and exposing. And when you're selfish and looking at porn, not only is that, yes, the difference between the addiction and then the sin, they're the same. Because that sin develops into an addiction. It's disgusting because you're looking at this in your own selfishness and satisfaction. What I wanted to bring to you real quick was in Proverbs, it says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiply kisses. You're his wife. You said at one time we were friends. You could finish the sentences. You can do all these different things. And that was the opportunity then. Don't beat yourself over the head 15 years ago. Now, go out and continue. You saw what you saw. You know there's a problem, and you have to open it, and you have to confess it, and be able to be a support for him going through this situation. And you can't give up. I mean, it's a spiritual battle, and he needs to realize that you're there. You love him more than anyone else, and he's going to be able to take that. He should be able to take that. Love deposit, far as your rebuke. There's a problem. I see it. Let me see your phone. Let me see the history. Let me go through everything. And there's more and more to this. Mm-hmm. But, yes, the actual, you know, website, the actual things behind the scenes and what you're looking at. And God forbid if he happened to go through a website by accident or in their child pornography on that, or there's someone in there who is a victim of child pornography. It's on his computer in his history. And if they're ever doing a sting or doing you know, research and it goes through his computer, he's done.
So, I mean, there's some serious things, Miriam. So I think I do want to commend you because you are exposing this. You're saying, listen, I can't live with this anymore. And I think it's okay for you to draw that line to say, you know, I love you, but I will not stand for this anymore. I'm not going to share you. You know, God talks about how he's a jealous God. I think that jealousy, we're creating his image. It's okay for you as a wife to say, listen, this is not okay in our marriage. And if we need to get help, let's get help. But we're not okay. This is not just normal. I don't care how many millions of people are involved with this. This is not godly. This is not God's plan. And so, again, Miriam, I really commend you for taking a stand on this. And we're going to be praying for your husband.
Thank you.
Just love him the way Christ loves us. Which is you know, no, he doesn't negotiate. He loves us. He's gracious, but he expects us to change.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, Miriam, God bless. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's continue on here. We got a few more minutes left. 855-454-5905. And I believe Felicia, is she still with us? Felicia has been patiently waiting on line 5. She's single, and she wants to talk a little bit about dating. So I think, Felicia, you called at the right time.
I did. Let me first say, again, like I always say every time I call, that I always listen to your show. I am very single. Well, yes, single, but I am dating.
So oh, you're dating. Congratulations.
I'm not married.
So you're dating. And is it? How serious is your dating relationship?
It's serious. It's serious. We're, you know, walking into courtship. So it is. He's Christian. I'm Christian.
And
also.
So it's exclusive. You're not dating. You're dating just him, and he's just dating you.
Yes, we're exclusive. Yes.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
She's walking into courtship. She didn't say she's running. She said, I'm walking. I'm strutting. Swag.
All right, good.
Absolutely.
All right. So what is your next step? And also, what is your comment and question this morning?
Personally, I guess the next step, like I said, is just we're still learning about each other. Mm-hmm. Still growing. Not just together, but separately as two people, two Christians. You know, when I listen to this show, I hear a lot of, I mean, of course, it's called Marriage Beyond the Vow. So, of course, there wouldn't be a lot of singles calling in with different things. But I'm one of those, like, I like to take heed to things in advance. So I hear, you know, comments and questions about, you know, the good marriages and the mm-hmm. marriages that go through the ups and downs. Well, all marriages go through ups and downs, just different stuff like that. And
sure.
my question first is, I am dating, and what can we do to we're still learning about each other, just to, for one, remain pure.
I got you.
That's number one. And ways to do that. Because, you know, the world says, you know, you got to test the car before you get it. And,
yeah, but it's not a car. It's a marriage. All right. Well, I hear you, Felicia. And I think we just have literally a couple of minutes left. So I want to make sure I get to answer your question. Uh-huh. So congratulations again. And I think even wanting to have that standard of purity mm-hmm. says a lot. I mean, most marriages, and this has been proven, even in the non-Christian world, people who shack up and living together, they struggle later. It's been proven that people who wait, it's just worth more. And I think that's just how God designed us. I mean, we trust him. It works. We trust ourselves. It falls apart. You know, so again, I commend you. What are some things you can do to stay pure? I think number one, you need to have that open conversation. It's real. I mean, obviously dating someone, you have an attraction. I'm sure he has an attraction to you. So the flesh is weak, is real. So you got to be able to say, listen, let's have some boundaries that we come up with. And then depending on your past and depending on what where you are, you got to be able to say, okay, what can we do and not do? I'll give you an example. There are some couples who feel like they, even a little tap kiss would cause them to struggle too much because they had a very promiscuous past. And so they decide, you know, during this whole dating process, we won't kiss at all. And definitely not French kissing because that would lead to other things. But even some people just saying just a little tap kiss on the mouth might be too much. And so we're not going to do that. Others have said, listen, we're not going to hold hands. I tell you, for me, I will hold my wife's hand only when we were walking. But if we're in a dark movie theater watching a movie, we wouldn't hold hands because it was just too close and it was too tempting. Like I knew what would be going through my mind and what feelings I would have. And then the last thing is, you know, my wife and I had made a decision that we would never be in a position where even at our weakest point, we would be able to fall into sin. So I would never be alone with her in an apartment or in a parked car. We just never did. And so you would say, well, that's crazy. You're building a relationship. Look, we had the rest of our lives. We made sure we made it to the altar pure. And so when it was really cold and I wanted to get in the apartment and there was no one out there, I still waited outside. Yeah. And I just said, hurry up and get whatever you need to. Let's go, because I'm not going in there. Because all it takes, and this is proven, it takes one stupid decision and you can regret that for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, making sure you are open and you talk about it. And hopefully it sounds like he's a great man. And if he has the same standard and convictions as you, he'll respect that. And you know, get with other great couples that have done it right and say, listen, what else can we do? Double dating is awesome. You know, especially if you're in a serious relationship, you know, double dating with other married couples, younger couples, other couples that might be in the same place as you, but they're also striving to be pure. I mean, and at this stage, it really should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be overly complicated. And by the way, Felicia, about half of our listeners are single, just so you know.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So hopefully that helps, you know, have that conversation and have those boundaries.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to leave you with this one passage and then we got to go. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, it says, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. So treat younger men as brothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Until you're married, you're like brother and sister, and that's to be pure.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind. And the mistake that sometimes people make is like, well, we have this title. That's my girlfriend, so we're okay. No. Until that's your husband, that's your wife, there's some things you absolutely should never have to do.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay, thank you so much, and I'll be tuning in next Saturday.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. You have a blessed day, Felicia.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, well, Sam, this is pretty much the end of our show today. Of course, we'll be back next week. In the meantime, we do want to encourage those folks who have not done that already to visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/beyondthevows. Any last words before we go?
No, I think it was right on point. Great, great conversation. And Tien, we're all in your corner, and you have Reverend Mack as the cut man.
Amen. And now I want to say a special thank you to Larry. Larry Fowler is our producer. Does an amazing job behind the scenes doing it all. So thank you so much, Brother Larry Fowler, and everyone else, thank you so much. God bless. See you next week.